One of the things that happens with this gospel story that we heard today, these statements that Jesus makes, is that because of various tendencies in American Christianity over the years, we get caught up with just the last verse about Jesus coming at an unexpected hour. And there are those who have taught us that watch means be afraid. You know, don't get caught. Reminds me of the bumper sticker we've all seen that says, Jesus is coming, look busy. Right? But that misses the whole flow of the statements that are made by Jesus in the gospel reading we just heard. There is a meaning in the progression of the statements that is more important than just the last statement. So it's crucial that we attend to that flow, to all of the statements in the reading. And they all hang from the very first sentence, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We need to hear that. Do not be afraid, little flock. Christianity is not a fear-based religion. Somebody tells you Christianity is a fear-based religion, they've got it wrong, or they're selling a book. Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's what God wants to do. It is God's desire continually to give. That is the nature of God. God is that person who is a ceaseless flow of self-giving love. That's who God is. And that God would give us that as a kingdom means that God wants to give us that quality of ceaselessly giving, that generous quality, that God would give it to us as a world-ordering principle. Marie-Louise von Franz, Carl Jung's first student, wrote a wonderful book, one of my favorite books, Shadow and Evil in Fairy Tales. And in it, von Franz says that the king in fairy tales represents the sort of dominant social consciousness, the way things are in the world. And that often the hero of the fairy tale has to come and interact with the king to change the world, to change the way things are. I think that's insightful. God would change the way things are into God's own way of being, which is that ceaselessly generous heart of God's. So that first sentence is packed with important stuff. And it follows then that almsgiving is a way to get on board with this vision of God's. That to give alms, to care for the poor, to be in solidarity with those in need, to reach out and help others, is to be doing God's heart. It's to be doing what God is doing. I remember when I first encountered the idea of doing what God is doing, and I thought, I can't do what God is doing. But indeed, we can. Almsgiving is recommended as a practice to put us in line with that ceaselessly generous and self-giving heart of God's that pleasures in giving to us God's own generosity. So the second phrase in this series of statements is a call to a spiritual practice that puts us in line with the kingdom that God desires and finds good pleasure in giving to us. The one follows upon the other. When we're generous, we're doing God. When we're generous, we're doing God. That is the nature of God's heart. To be generous. To be ceaselessly self-giving. And when we are generous, and when we help out, and when we side with those in need and in distress, we're doing the very things of God's own heart. So the amazing thing is then that this creates a different social order. It turns the world upside down. So the next image that we get is, so if you do this spiritual practice of almsgiving that has you doing what God's heart is doing, the next thing that happens is it's like the servants who are actively waiting for their master to come from the wedding banquet. They're getting the house ready for their evening, and they're putting things away and cleaning up and maybe turning down the bed and preparing for the master to come back from the wedding banquet. And the master comes back from the wedding banquet, and having received such joy and generosity from attending the wedding, the master then girds his belt, has the servant sit down, and serves them. In the first century, that would have been the most bizarre idea. I can imagine someone hearing Jesus teach and say, yeah, that'll never happen where I work. But the idea is that the generosity and the joy that the master received at the wedding banquet is naturally shared, because that's the way God's heart is. And so the master comes home and shares the joy received at the wedding banquet with even the servants. The expectations are upended. The world is reordered. I'm sure there were a few masters who were also thinking, yeah, that's not happening in my house. And maybe felt threatened, too, by that teaching. But it all flows one from the other. The love that God has, the good pleasure God finds in giving God's self and giving God's self as a kingdom, as a way of ordering the world, we check into it, we participate in it through our almsgiving, and we'll discover that our world is being turned upside down as expectations are changed and structures are reorganized, because we're doing what God's heart is doing. Because we're doing what God is doing. Then we get to the last verse about, so be ready. So be prepared. And the meaning here is very simple. That if we forget the practice, we forget to do what God's heart is doing. And if we forget to do what God's heart is doing, that's when we'll be surprised by Christ showing up. When we're not doing what God is doing, when we're doing what God is doing, oh, Jesus is here. Cool. More grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. More grace. It's when we're not doing what God is doing that we're surprised by his appearance. And when Christ comes and does change everything, when we're not practiced at doing what God is doing, it might feel like a break-in. Doesn't have to, but it might. And so the whole text, all of these teaching, one follows upon the other in an invitation to us to have glad and generous hearts, and to recognize that in having those glad and generous hearts, what we're doing is the very thing that the heart of God is doing. Being the people who give alms, being the masters who come home and serve the servants, being the people who are awake and attentive to the possibilities that we can do with all the gifts that we have received. We're doing what God is doing. We're making our hearts match up with God's heart. And that's a wonderful thing. An amazing thing. And sometimes even a startling thing. Joyful and generous. That's the call from God's heart to ours.